Sack Gamers Podcast. Welcome to the Rusak Gamers Podcast, episode 123. Our Numenera game continues this week as the guys meet the town mayor, find a weird thing, a weird giant shell thing sticking up from the salt flats, and they start playing around with a large gem. It's another day in Numenera. Comments, critique, and general feedback can be left on our voicemail, 502-4141-RU, that's 502-4141-766. Or send us email, roy@rusakgamers.com. Look for us on Facebook, or stop by our rpgcrosstalk.com forum. You can also listen to us on Stitcher or iTunes. And hey, leave us a review. Enjoy the show. All right, we're recording. Okay, I'm Roy. And to my right is?
Joe. I'll be playing Ian Frey tonight.
And Ian Frey is a?
He is a... He's a character I'm playing. He is a clever Jack who controls gravity in the mysterious world of Numenera. It's brought to you by Roy.
RGM.
So far.
I'm Jason playing Obis, who's a mystical Jack who fuses flesh and steel.
I'm Doug. I'm playing Grom the Bookworm. He is a learned nano who talks to machines.
I'm Bill. I'm playing Oleon. A mystical glaive who carries a quiver.
Okay, so let's see. Last time, you guys made a discovery, right, Bill?
Yeah.
What'd you find out?
That there's a young old one under the house in the outskirts of town.
A young old one. That works out kind of interesting. And you also had a little bit of combat, and didn't we exchange some emails about how we had, was there problems with that last time? Helping, maybe? Did we do helping
no,
right?
We did helping a little bit wrong.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we also did
when
the,
we identified the Numenera, the helping.
Oh, they identified the Numenera.
Wrong.
Okay. We'll correct that. Jason, you say something?
No, I was getting ready to say most of it was, we were doing it by step rather than just saying it was plus one or plus two.
Well, it depends on yeah. the trained and untrained. If you have the same skill level, like none or both trained or both skilled, it's the plus one to that die roll. If the helper is more trained in some aspect of it than the actor, it's a one-step shift.
So if Bill is trained in crafting Numenera, more than Doug is, and Doug's actually going to try to make the roll, then it's a one step change. If you're not as well trained,
if we're
equal or less,
if we're equal or I'm less, then it's just a plus one.
Just a plus one.
Or no. If I'm less, I can't help.
For less,
so I have to be
you have
equal.
To be equal.
Have
okay,
to be at least equal.
Okay.
Right. I think the example in the book is climbing.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't remember the page number? Oh, Doug. 101. Doug's got his handy cheat sheet there. Okay. So, let's see. The last episode. Yes.
The low light vision.
Yes.
You were talking about the fight last time and how it was low light.
Yes.
That does have a combat effect to it.
Okay.
Or can if you feel like it should.
Mm-hmm. If there were any differences in anybody's ability to see low light, it would have made a difference.
If you are in dim light,
uh-huh,
and at an immediate range,
mm-hmm,
there's no difference.
Okay. It was
if
dim.
If you're in dim light and you're firing into short range, it's one step.
Right.
And if you're in very low light and you're in immediate range, it's one step.
It was dusk, but it was in town. There were still some lights on from everybody in the buildings, so I wasn't considering it much different.
I thought for Bill's character out in the boonies with the old one, it was dim light or something. But he was in immediate range, so I don't think...
It didn't make a difference in that because it was more... It wasn't affecting his skill roll,
mm-hmm,
because he was using an ability he has basically to see magic. And
I think Doug was talking about the fight I had out there.
Right.
The ones who ambushed me when I was trying
You were on the edge of town already. I wasn't considering you outside of town at that point.
Oh, okay.
No, I wasn't considering you outside of town. I was considering you in town, just on the opposite side from where everyone else was. That's all. So anyways, the reason you were outside of town, though, you were following some of the kids who were making some weird comments about a pet, and that's where you found the young old one, the infant old one. And then there was some bells ringing because there was an attack on the town, and some abhumans.
Abhumans?
Abhumans called Moggers were attacking. These were goat-headed Moggers, and you guys repelled them. Combat went pretty well, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once you get used to what kind of things you can do, everything went really snappy. Okay, so combat is over. You guys have defeated the bad guys. It's still that night. We're not going to skip over the night yet.
Well, we grabbed two ciphers.
Grabbed two ciphers?
I gladly grab one of them, and you all can decide which one of you wants to roll on the blow up chart and take the other one.
I'm not taking it.
I'll do it.
All right.
I already cleared my damage track, Roy, for the night.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
We're just gonna work through the mysteries and stuff like that.
Okay. If you
have more combat, I'll give you some leeway on that. Because I made this decision after we broke last time.
Okay.
Okay.
Real quick, my flex skill is gonna be biology.
Okay.
But that changes every day, right?
Yeah.
Every day he gets to pick a new one.
Yeah.
So do I.
Yeah.
But I don't remember him checking one last week, so. Right?
Well, it would have been the same, but.
Yeah, that's fine. So you can keep it for tonight, and then tomorrow if you want to change it, that's great. Okay, so. Jason's gonna pick up an extra cipher. Let's see.
You could get rid of one you have that you don't really want.
Yeah.
To avoid catastrophe.
It's only a chance of catastrophe.
Yeah, only a chance of catastrophe.
How does that work?
Using the cipher danger table, roll D100, then add 10 to the result for each cipher over the character's maximum limit. And then we see.
I'll see what happens.
I'll step back.
You got one over?
One over.
One over. I believe I get to roll that.
Well, I don't have the dice out anyway.
Because I get the percentile dice.
20.
33 plus 1 plus 10 for over. That's 43. Nothing happens.
Yay!
So you're carrying a detonator pressure.
Probably would have been bad.
On a wrist launcher, I think you described it as?
Sure.
And it has a rating of 4.
I think we'll need that page, so I was just tagging it in my book. Okay, so the fight is over. Dead bodies lying at your feet. I believe the final tally was 9 bodies. Some are on one side of town. Some are at the other side of town. And that's where the chieftain was. You can tell he was the chieftain because he was dressed a bit better than the rest of them. What do you guys do?
Let's follow the tracks. See where they came from.
Okay. It is dusk, so light is starting to become an issue.
How do glow globes work? I think there's some in adventure packs. Are they one time use?
They are one time use. I can't remember how long they last, but they are one time use. There are everlasting ones, but the ones we start with aren't.
Page 80
something.
2. The device illuminates everything in short range with soft light. It can hover in place on its own, or it can be attached to something. The minor glow globe lasts for an hour when activated. The major glow globe functions continuously.
How much is one of those, the big one?
I don't know.
It's pretty expensive.
Well, an honest, we just did 30, save the town from
30
being
shins.
Rioted.
I'm sorry.
We just did save the town from being overwhelmed.
And the town is very appreciative of it.
A minor.
But did they own one?
A minor or a major?
Major.
Major is 30 shins.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get some torches.
I've got torches.
Well, see if they can, I mean, if the town will supply us with a song.
Mm-hmm. A few of the townspeople come out and, you know, some of the people who, they don't have a regular
militia or town guard or anything. They have a few people that have their own weapons, though, and they come running out a little late, but they come running out.
Who's the highest person in charge?
The mayor comes out. Older guy, older gentleman. He's still actually pretty fit. I mean, he's not your, you know, typical hobbit town mayor kind of flabby guy. I mean, he's pretty fit, grayish hair, receding hairline. He actually comes out with a spear. That's pretty nice looking weapon, actually.
I would like to approach the mayor.
Absolutely. Are there any more of them?
No, I think we got them all, sir. What do you know about these creatures?
Absolutely nothing. We've never had anything like this ever.
They've never hit the town before?
No. We never have any trouble with the abhumans around here.
Seems to me like this was a planned attack anyway. I mean, we've counted 9 bodies.
I would definitely agree. Did they only come from the south end of town?
No, they were on both sides.
Olean?
Yes, sir.
Were you involved?
Yes, sir. I was on the other side of town.
It seems against your nature to be such a ruffian. He's looking at you in a new light. He just kind of thought you were a drifter, not the hero type.
With a cool-ass bow.
With a fish in it.
Bow.
Oh, bow. That's just ball.
No, I...
With a cool-ass bow, yeah. But it's never strung. We just, you know. Yeah, you could. That would be cool. The fish bow.
Is there any reason that you can think of as to why these abhumans would have it out for the town?
No, there's no reason I can think of. I mean, this is a time of festival for us. Maybe they wanted more people around to attack and more to take back. I don't know. It doesn't really seem to be enough of them to take over a town, though.
No, they weren't taking anything. We're just here causing chaos.
But to what end? We've never had any trouble with the abhumans. None of the local tribes, although these don't seem to be any of the local tribes.
How can you tell?
We've never seen any of the goat-headed ones.
Is anyone missing?
I'm not really sure. We need to take a quick census of the town. There's obviously a few dead.
Okay. Well,
you can see, I mean, there were some bodies down there from before. I mean, you know, there's at least 3 or 4 bodies down there at
right.
The other end of town.
People were running away.
And getting sliced down, right?
Okay. Why don't you gather everybody up, see if anybody's missing or hurt. Me and this motley crew are going to follow, see if we can find any tracks to figure out where they came from or if there's more out there.
Okay. That would work out great. Here, take these hand gel torches, several torches each.
Okay. I pull out my Zippo lighter and I light them.
The light is... It's a bright yellow. It's not a typical looking flame.
Off of the torches?
Off of the torches. It's a bright yellow.
Groovy.
White to bright yellow.
Okay, off we go into the salt flats.
You walk down to the south end of town. It's maybe 50 yards from the end of town onto the salt flats. You see something that looks like it's come up from, the salt itself. It's come out, it's broken the crust of the salt. The salt here is a couple of feet thick. I mean, it's very, very easy for everyone to walk on.
There's a
spherical, from where you guys are standing, it's a spherical looking shape that looks like it's come from under the salt.
How interesting.
How big?
Fascinating, Captain.
How big?
It's considerable size.
Big enough to carry 9 abhumans?
A little bigger than that.
Take a tour.
And I'll put it this way. It looks like it's not all of it. You can't see all of it just yet. It looks like it goes under the salt still. But it's pretty good size.
It looks like the top of some structure has shoved itself up through the salt.
That's not a bad thought. Doug, you're saying?
I was going to say, so the sphere is still in the hole.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's
still on the ground.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With Bo out.
Uh-huh.
I look for an entrance.
It's right in front of you. As you walk down to it, you see that there is a circular door in front of you.
Is it open?
It is open. It is open.
Is there anyone inside?
I don't know. Do you go inside to find out?
Real quick question on the door. Does it look like it was broken down or just open?
Open. There's no, in fact, you don't see an actual door there. It looks like it the door may have retracted into the walls. The structure you're looking at, it looks like it was modified from something natural. I mean, the structure itself looks organic, and then there's a door. Okay.
What's the door made out of?
Metal.
Well, Mr. Biologist for the day, what kind of material?
I'll start examining it. See what it is.
Okay.
I'll help him.
We can figure out maybe if it's plant or something more man-made.
I have identifying. Can I help him with identifying?
Yes, you can. I'm just looking to see, trying to find out.
Page 101?
Yeah. No, I was just, I'm going to work it in. Task difficulty is a 5. It's a challenging thing. It's right around something even a scholar might not know.
So that'd be a 15?
Yes.
But he's trained.
I'm trained in identifying, so that reduces it one step, right?
Are you helping each other?
That's what I said. I'll help him.
Okay. Now, he's trained as well, so it's a +1.
He's not trained in identifying, I guess.
But he's using...
I'm trained in biology.
Right. You're both trained.
For the task. Okay.
Right.
So, I guess it's +1 on the roll then.
Right. You have a +1 on the roll.
So, is it step difficulty of 4? With a +1?
Yes,
one?
Because, no.
It's a step modifier of 1.
The right, step is modified from a 5 to a 4 on task difficulty because you are trained.
Right.
And you also have a +1 on the roll because Doug is helping you.
So you need to roll an 11.
Or better.
Or better.
You can also use effort.
Yes.
You can burn
3 intellect pool.
Yeah. Which would be reduced by your edge if you wanted to.
Now I've got a knowledge enhancement cipher on me.
Uh-huh.
What does those do? Page 289 is the reference page you told me.
I'm glad I told you the reference page because I don't remember. 289, knowledge enhancements. For the next 28 hours, the character has trained in a predetermined skill, although the skill could be anything, including something specific to the operation of one device or something similar. Common skills include, and then you can roll on the table.
It makes you skilled in a
specific.
Yeah,
train in a specific skill. So since you're already trained, I don't think it helps.
No, it's not going to help.
But if you're trained twice, you're skilled.
Specialized.
I tell you what, if you want to burn it and become specialized, I'll let you do it.
What
if it's not?
It'll take it down 2 steps instead of 1, huh?
What if it's not what will help him? Or are you saying it?
Whatever he wants it to be is fine. If he wants to use it on biology, I'll let you have it.
I'll use it.
Okay.
So it's just a brain tweak.
Yeah. He gets, Bill, you can, do you see magic or whatever it is?
I can sense magic. It's not so much seeing it. I have to spend time to acclimatize myself.
Okay. It takes him a couple of moments to do this. You get the feeling that you should be doing that right now.
That I should be doing what?
Your thumb.
You and acclimatizing I yourself. Magic.
You should be acclimatizing yourself.
I'll take a moment to center myself. And
when you do that, you see it's almost like a light just coming out of the sky and looping gently down to a point and touching him in the head.
Oh, cool. Run away.
Touching Obis?
Obis, yeah. When he activates his cipher.
It's knowledge granted by the heavens, man.
Maybe it is. We don't know.
Okay.
That's
so
part of the wonder.
It was a 5. You are now specialized, so it takes it to a 3, and you have a +1 because Doug is helping you.
So I need 8 or higher?
Yep.
And you could still burn an effort.
Which you could immediately recover as an action.
Well, that's 3 points from the pool, right?
Yep.
Do you have...
Well, where, no, he wasn't hurt last time, so I don't think he's used any of those yet.
Where did you put your...
My edge is intelligence.
Okay. So then you would use your edge on that, and you'd only have to pay 2 points.
Instead of 3, yeah.
All right. I'll do that.
Okay. So you've gone to an 8 down to a 5 or better.
Woohoo, 6.
Well burned.
Nicely done.
Nicely done. Way to use those.
Atta boy.
Step downs.
Okay, you...
In terms of biology.
Yeah, in terms of biology, this looks like it's the carapace, the shell of a ghost crab. Okay. The thing that threw you off is that ghost crabs, they usually only get about 5 feet in size. I mean, this thing is easily much bigger than that. Okay. I mean, that looks like from just what you can see, there might be room inside this shell for 15 human-looking creatures.
And for those of you listening at home, a ghost crab in Numenera is not your grandfather's ghost crab.
Ghost crabs live on the ocean floor, typically in places that are at least 1 mile deep. They can grow as large as 5 feet across, but average about 3.5 feet. Nimble hunters and intricate weavers, ghost crabs can build their silica webs along any jagged or uneven surface. However, this looks no longer alive.
Well, this thing's got to be 20 feet in diameter then.
Oh, easy. Easy.
Enormous.
Okay, I'm skilled.
With the big metal door bolted on the front of it.
I'm skilled in identifying and assessing danger.
Okay.
So is there any reason to be on guard standing on the outside of this thing?
What does that give you? I mean, in terms of game terms, what is that?
It's exactly
I'm
what
trained
it says.
In identifying or assessing danger, lies, quality, how things work.
Make a roll.
Okay, I don't know what.
That's a good question. I don't remember reading in the rules. Do I have to give you a target number?
No.
Well, then I don't know how to adjust.
Right.
Right. That's the sneaky part of it.
So just an intellect?
Yeah. I mean, it's a D20 roll. You're trained in it. So you're not looking for any bonuses like in regular D20. This is the cipher system as opposed to D20. So you're trained, so you already get to take it down a step. Okay.
Okay. Without knowing what it is.
Without knowing what it is.
Well, you're just looking at the area and thinking, is there anything dangerous here?
Yeah.
Okay. I rolled a 13.
Okay. It's pretty quiet. There doesn't seem to be any movement coming from the shell. You don't see any lights inside the door. You think that if this thing popped up right in front of you, you should be changing your shorts. But right now, you don't feel like there's anything to be particularly worried about.
Let's go in.
Oh, I'm behind Doug.
I'm going to go ahead and spend an action.
Okay. To recover your intellect?
Yes. So it's automatically 2, right? Because it's 1d6 plus 1.
Yep.
Which is why I would hold off.
Yeah.
Personally. You can use the extra and put it in any other pool you want.
Right.
Yeah. And intellect is the last pool to get tapped for damage.
Yeah, if you get into a combat.
Usually.
It's might, speed, intellect before you fall over dead. And judging from combat last time, it's probably be a while before y'all even try to die.
No,
I can start throwing bigger things at you.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I'll wait then.
A behemoth. Something large. 15 points of damage per shot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no such thing.
Yeah, there is. I just invented it.
I disbelieve.
Okay. You guys are going to go into the shell. Who goes first?
I will.
Hey, we got a volunteer. Marching order. Last. Obis.
I'll go second, carrying a torch.
Obis, Grom, Ian, and Olian. The D is silent. You go in, there's immediately what seems to be steps. There seems to be a lot of moisture in the atmosphere in here. As you go further down, everything's got kind of a slickness to it. You go down a few steps, like three or four steps. You need to take your time moving in. You see what looks to be, places to sit for maybe 15.
I'm going to make sure I've got my pole arm out.
Okay.
And going down the steps, I'll use the end of it to probe.
Okay.
You said everything in here is kind of sticky?
Not sticky. Slick. Wet.
Okay. Check the seats. Are they all wet?
To the same degree all over, yes. You don't seem to think that you can get an idea of how many were here from this kind of the atmosphere in here.
So there's 15 seats and how many abhuman bodies
nine.
Did we see?
Nine.
Okay.
If I do my math correctly, there were nine.
Well, you're the GM, so.
There were nine.
I know.
Okay, if we poke around in here, does it get bigger? Is there more space underneath the ground
there,
that you can't see?
It's a TARDIS.
It's not a TARDIS. It's not bigger on the inside. You see that there's another chamber on the far side. Door's shut.
I'll proceed that way.
Okay.
Just go over to the door, see if it's not going to wiggle it too hard, but just see if it's locked.
It's shut. There's no doorknob. There is a plate bolted into the wall next to it.
Does it look electrical?
Yes.
I open it.
How?
I talk to machines.
Well then, do you have
one
to make a roll?
One of my abilities is to distant activation. I can activate any machine I can see.
Okay.
So I will activate the opening mechanism.
So you're just looking at it? You know, just look at it?
It says on page 73.
Mm-hmm.
It costs one intellect point, but that's where my edge is, so it doesn't cost anything.
Okay.
You can activate or deactivate any machine you can see within short range, even if you normally would have to touch or manually operate the device.
Okay.
To use this ability, you must understand the function of the machine. It must be your size or smaller and can't be connected to another intelligence or be intelligent itself.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you haven't necessarily seen this particular thing before, but you have a pretty good idea.
That it opens the door.
That it opens. It's a lock
right.
of some sort. And as you look at it, you kind of, you know, concentrate on it a little bit. A pattern of lights flash on it, which is kind of weird because it looks just like a square piece of metal.
Mm-hmm.
So flashing lights appear underneath of it, and the door opens. It rolls off to the inside wall. It's a pocket door.
Okay. Got it.
Okay.
I'll slide it open and go in.
It slides open on its own. You don't have to move it or anything. You go in. You see this is a smallest chamber. Maybe one or two people can be in here comfortably. There is a pedestal towards the front of the room, to the far side of the room that you walk into. There is a gem on the pedestal. It is a large gem. Multifaceted. I mean, it's so many facets you couldn't even count them. It's not easy to see how many facets are on it because, I mean, this is it's a ball the size, about twice the size of a softball. Okay.
Okay.
Is it Numenera?
Maybe it is.
Well, let me say that a different way. Is it currently functioning that I can detect that it is Numenera?
It does not seem to be functioning. It just seems to be a gem on top of a pedestal at the moment.
Okay. Do I get a feeling from identifying or assessing danger lies, quality, importance, function, or power?
I'm going to say you can't say anything about its power because it's not functioning. You don't know without turning it on of some, any way, shape, or form, you won't be able to get an idea of the function. It seems to have a position of prominence in this room, and it seems to, you intuit that it's important to the functioning of whatever this thing
probably
is.
Probably the power source of this crap.
Hold on, don't touch it. Let me look at my book. I'll try to identify it.
Okay.
Get out my Numenera book. Flip through the pages.
And while he's looking at his book, Grom and
Obis
and I will discuss our knowledge, helping him about devices that may or may not be like that. Once I saw one that did this.
Remember, it is an unusually sized crab. So
this is something that's it's going to be.
I didn't think they existed
till now.
To COUS.
Crabs of unusual size. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for someone to try that. Okay. This is not anything you guys have ever even heard of before. It's going to be extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell you what your target number is. If you all want to pool your resources and try to figure something out. Biology will not help you, though, Jason.
But we're Numenera. Both of us are going to do that.
All three of us are trained with identifying Numenera.
Okay. So who's going to be making the roll?
I'll make the roll.
He has a book which gives him a shift.
Okay.
Or a step.
A step.
And the both of us helping him give him plus two total.
Right.
So I'm trained in Numenera and trained in identifying.
That gives you two steps?
Wait, is that two different ones?
It's two different skills.
So then we can't help
you. Well, we can only give him plus one.
I don't think you can reduce it two steps with two different skills.
That's a vagarity, but it is your realm as GM to determine whether that is or not. Because you could be trained in, from the book, you could be trained in balance, and you can be trained in physical performing arts.
Right.
Which seems to be a subcategory of balance. So it would make sense that if you're trained in both of those, you would be skilled. What's the word? Anyway, you get... To your performance.
Right.
But not to walking across a tightrope.
Right.
Well, that might not be the right choice, but anyway, you know what?
Doug, what are the two skills you got?
I have Numenera and identifying.
I'll give you plus one from the Numenera so that you can adjust it a step between their help and that skill. So you're down two steps, if I understand it correctly right now. Technically, you're down two steps.
Well, they're trained, so they give me plus...
Plus one each.
Plus one on the roll.
Each.
Right. Each. Okay. So plus two on the roll.
Right.
So being trained in Numenera gives me a step.
Right.
The book on Numenera gives me a step.
Right.
And you're saying identifying is giving me...
I'm going to give you a plus one for that.
Okay. Saying it in this case, it's an
three
asset.
Three plus ones.
It's a plus one asset.
Okay.
But the R3 pluses turn into a step.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
So you're taking it down three steps.
So in effect, that's three steps. Okay.
Right.
And I will expend some effort... And take it down one more step.
Four steps? Wow.
Yeah, because why not?
I can't look.
Oh!
What? Wow, wow, wow.
Well, that would be GM intrusion.
A one?
That was a one.
You could spend your experience point to re-roll. And take the best roll.
No, I'm holding on to that. It's mine.
I'm just pointing that out.
Mine.
Okay.
Something bad can happen. I'm cool with that.
Wait.
What?
Is he supposed to be licking the crystal like that? What's he doing?
So I didn't get the task down to a zero?
No.
Okay.
I think you can.
I thought you were going to get it,
though.
Make
anyone reroll.
Yeah, you can throw your XP if
I'm
you
gonna
have
I'm going to throw XP. My extra XP to allow him to reroll.
Okay.
Oh, I
Since
thank
I,
you.
I'm one above everyone right now, I'll go ahead and let you use that to reroll and take the best roll.
Oh, I thank you kindly.
What a guy.
How many XP is there? You had two?
We're all at one now.
Oh, I thought you had two. Oh, you
I did have
okay.
two.
So there's an XP, and there's an XP, and...
Well, it's a four.
It's not a one, though.
It's not a one. That's one step.
That means he has to pay us if he wants to intrude on it.
Here's a question. Now, and I thought I remembered seeing something in the book, and I could be wrong if this isn't what I saw and what I'm remembering. He got the bad, and I can intrude on him. Okay. But if it affects the whole party, is it fair to give everybody an XP?
He rolled a one, and if that's the roll he would have taken, you would have been able to intrude for free.
Right.
But he didn't.
Right. But if I want to intrude and pay the cost to do something that not only affects him but could also affect the whole party.
If it affects the whole party, you give us all one.
Yeah, everyone gets an XP. Doug goes over. Grom goes over. And he's cautious. He's looking it over. And he's flipping back into his book. And he's looking over. And he puts one finger on it. And a light comes on. And you feel the thing shudder. The whole thing that you're inside shudders.
I think I turned it on. Hey, I got it. We're good.
And then seems to drop down. And you hear water.
Shut the door.
Okay. Somebody go shut the door. Quick.
I'll go close the door.
And as you go towards that, you're going to need to make a, the water's coming in. It's coming in fast. Okay.
Oh, can I see the door?
Oh yeah, you can see the door right back. You've lurched down and water is, it's now below the shoreline. Just everyone's clear. The salt flats is actually a crust of 1 to 2 foot thick salt over top of a lake.
Okay. Yeah.
And what the thing that you guys, the shell that you guys are in, just dropped below the shoreline of the lake.
Okay.
Water is pouring in.
If I can see the door, I'll just close it, right? Remote activation, close the door.
To
sure.
Electronic okay. device, yep. You will reach out to it.
Okay.
As long as it's electronic and not like a manual crank on that door or something, I'll close it.
Sure. Shut the door. The big door, outer door, rolls in. There is about 5-6 inches of water all over the floor in here.
It's bound to happen from time to time. It's a giant crab for crying out loud, right?
Yeah.
It's okay.
There's probably a button somewhere around here to drain this.
Just watch our electronic devices.
Now what do you do?
I got a cipher that take this water right out of here.
You gonna let your goldfish out?
I've never been able to figure out how to open it.
I'm looking for a control panel.
It's right there.
It's this big glowing, well, it's not glowing, but this big gem ball is the only thing in here that looks like it might be any kind of control. And it is after Grom touched it, it's dark again. And you guys feel like,
again.
You guys feel like you're just kind of slowly descending.
I can try to activate it.
Activate it.
How are you going to activate it?
Well, as a talk to machines, I get a +1 on interacting with electrical equipment.
Does not seem to be an electrical equipment.
Ooh.
Magic.
Numenera.
Well, I barely touched it and it went down a couple feet. I should just put my hand on it. It'll take
oh, it went down. Hold on. So we're clear. It went down. It felt like it went down a couple feet immediately. You still feel like you're sliding down.
Oh, we're still going.
Yeah, somewhere. You're still, and you're not, it doesn't seem to be controlled. In fact, every now and then you hear like, you feel like a thump. I mean, you're just going straight down. Not straight down, but kind of sideways.
So do we see any kind of control panel other than this crystal?
Nope.
Is there any viewing, like a window or a slide?
Nope.
Are there any chairs around this crystal?
Nope.
You just press the button on the elevator.
I go back in the other room and sit down in a chair.
After a few minutes, no, but after a few minutes, everyone feels a big thump. Okay. And, I'm not going to make you roll. It's a D20 thing to do to make you roll to see if you fall over. It's no reason. There's a good solid thump. If anyone feels they should have fallen over, go ahead. And you don't feel like you're moving anymore. It took a few minutes to get to this point though.
We're there.
Oh. Okay.
Go knock on the door. See if it sounds like it's hollow or not.
I'll take my quarterstaff and just ding on it.
Which door?
The one front we came door. In. Is there more than one door?
No. There was two doors. There was the open door
right.
on the shoreline. There was the door into what you could think of as the control room.
Right.
Okay. I'm assuming you closed the main door.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I'm all tapping right. on the main door in.
It sounds solid.
I think we're completely underwater.
Well, we can try to activate the crystal. There's a way to do it blindly.
Can I say right now, this is not where I expected this to go. I'm flying blind.
So are we.
Yeah, I know. This is great.
Opening the door is going to be a bad idea. I can tell that from the water on the floor.
Yeah. Probably a real bad idea.
Everyone's looking over at their character. What have I got?
Well, I'm looking up ciphers to see how you activate them blindly. I remember reading something about this.
I will touch the crystal. Just put both hands on it and see what happens.
Crystal lights up.
Okay.
But it's... There's multiple colors, multiple facets light up, some blink, some just stay on solid, some flare and then die off immediately. You get the idea that it's confused.
Well,
it's confused?
It's confused. He grabbed it with both hands.
Yeah.
And it lit up and then, you know, some things are flashing, some things are staying.
You're pressing too many buttons. You have to just touch one.
It's a crystal though, right? I don't see any.
Well, one facet. Right.
One, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the facets, when you get up close, I mean, there's a lot of facets on it, but they're, none of them are so small that you can't touch just
like
one.
Facets like buttons?
No. Like facets like
angles?
A gem. Yeah. Like a flat piece on a gem that's been cut away.
All right.
Like the sides of a D20.
I will touch the very top facet.
Okay. Touch the top facet. You feel the shell just kind of vibrate and slowly move up.
Okay. But we don't have any windows.
Nope. I hold my finger on it. Mm-hmm. Does it continue to ascend upward?
Yes.
Take a hand off.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll take my finger off.
It's, the light stays lit. You see several other lights light up facets around there and you don't feel any movement.
We're hovering. So what are the relations between these lit up facets and the top facet? How are they oriented?
Equidistant, around the sides.
Compass rose.
Yes, but not related to the compass of
necessarily pointing north, but
not north, south, east, west, front, back, left, right,
yeah,
up, down, yeah.
Okay, I think you figured out how to make it go. Now we just need to know. We need to figure out how to know where we're going so we don't run into something. There's got to be some way they steer this thing. Well, let's look around the control room. There's got to be some kind of window or something.
There are no windows.
Is there anything on the screens?
There are no screens.
I was an ancient device. Which facet would open up a screen? I contemplate that.
Okay.
Close your eyes and touch it.
And when I have an answer, that's the facet I touch.
Okay. Are you actually trying to do something?
Yeah, I want to figure out from my extensive knowledge of Numenera. I see that many facets, so this device does many things.
Yes.
Only six of them are directional.
Yes.
Currently. One of them could quite possibly be a viewer of sorts.
How many facets does it have? Is it important?
A lot. It's not really important.
Okay.
In game terms, enough to do whatever the GM wants it to do.
Mm-hmm. But dozens, hundreds?
Not hundreds.
But more than dozens.
More than dozens. Maybe 100.
Okay.
Maybe 100.
And the six that
I mean,
lit
it's
up,
it's a good sized ball too. I mean,
the six that lit up that we think are directional, they're the largest of the facets.
You can't actually see the one that's pointing at that. You see that there's one that's lit up underneath of it, but you can't actually touch it because it's resting on this platform.
Okay, but the five that we can see, are they the largest of the facets?
No. No, there's no difference in size of any of the facets.
They're all the same size?
Yes.
I will touch the one.
Maybe you have to pick it up.
In the front. Is it like five top? There's one on the bottom that we can't touch.
Right.
And then there's some on either side.
Front, back, left, right, yes.
I'll touch the one in the front.
Do you just touch it, or do you touch and hold?
And hold my finger to the front.
You feel gentle movement forward.
Pick up the crystal. There's one on the bottom. You got to be holding it to use it.
Do you want me to?
Anything from Danger Sense?
Like we're running straight into a wall?
Cause you can't no, from I don't thinking think it, of picking it up out of its cradle.
I don't think it's a magic thing for you. It's when you're trying to determine. Yeah.
I don't have anything to do with magic. It's
no,
just
no, no.
Danger.
It
just danger in general.
I'm gonna say you don't get any kind of feeling like that.
Okay, I'll pick it up. Pick the gem up.
Okay. You pick the gem up, it goes dark.
Put it back down.
You put it back down, it's still dark now. But you don't feel any movement. You feel...
floating.
Well, I killed it.
Floating, gently sinking.
I killed it.
Well, how would you activate the facet on the bottom then? Is this thing round?
Yes.
Can we roll it around in the holder?
Sure, you can roll it around in the holder.
I mean, does it seem like it's made to be rolled around?
No, it does not seem to be made to roll around.
I'm getting a little sick. Stop the spinning.
Oh, it's completely dark right now.
I'll touch it again.
When you do that again, it seems confused, just like you did before.
But it lights up.
Oh yeah, several lights come on.
I take my hands off it,
and it goes dark again.
When he touches it with both hands, you say lots of facets light up.
Mm-hmm.
The facets that light up aren't limited to the six directional ones. There's
right.
Other facets that light
right.
up as well.
Exactly.
So touch one.
Every single facet that he touches lights up.
Okay.
Okay.
Try touching one of the ones that's not a directional one.
You touch one of the ciphers, it blinks through multiple colors, but you don't see anything else happen. You kind of get the feeling that it gave you some information, you just don't know what the information it gave you was.
Clearly that one was mood lighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disco mode.
Disco mode.
No, no. It wasn't fast or bright enough for disco mode. It was definitely mood.
Right. Smooth jazz mode. All right. I'm getting bored of this thing. I think we should just try to get it to the surface again and get out of it.
But the Abhumans use this to travel from their underground secret lair to the surface.
Right, but we
wait,
can't
wait,
see.
Wait, hold on. Underwater.
Secret lair to the surface.
Yeah, but there should be at least six more somewhere.
We take it up to the surface, we find them, and then we beat it out of them. <You know? laughs> They gotta know how to pilot this crab shell.
I agree, they're probably out on a raiding party, so they're probably gonna come back.
True.
Probably going to be more effective on the surface where we can breathe than trapped down here. If we break this thing, we're not having much luck with it.
I will point out we're not under the hole anymore, though.
Well, we may have to make another hole.
Okay, I go back and sit down. Have at it. Hold your finger down on the top really hard. I suggest everybody sit down.
Bill? Hmm? What are you going to do?
I was attempting to figure out which one opened the view screen. And then it went.
Yep. Sorry about that. Well, you want to make a roll for that? Or are you just wanting to touch one in particular? Or
I was hoping with my knowledge of Numenera to make a roll and maybe get the right one.
Ah, okay. That's what I was trying to get at that earlier. And sorry, that's my fault. Yeah, go ahead and make a roll. It's the same roll I'm using for the rest of the stuff. So it's difficult.
Right.
I mean,
can
okay.
I help?
What, you're using your Numenera?
Yeah, I'm identifying and understanding Numenera.
Okay. So.
Is what I'm skilled at.
They're gonna help you.
Trained at.
Like y'all three did before when Doug rolled.
Except right. I don't have a book to give me any advantage.
You don't have
advantage.
A book. So, sure.
So I got one step and plus two to my roll.
Right.
Well, wait, you're using Numenera.
Right.
Well, I can help you with identify. Right? That gives you a step. Because you're not trained in it and I am. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's up to the GM.
Yeah, no, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. So you'll have two steps and plus one from Jason. From
Obis.
Obis. Obis. That's what he calls it. It's his name.
And see, we're all talking about me and I didn't have to say a word. Tune in next week when they get my name right.
Obis.
Is it Obis or is it Obis?
Obis.
That's he said last time he was obese. I swear. I'm going to have to play the tape back on that one.
Okay, so
Obis, okay.
So I got two steps and I'm plus...
Two steps plus one.
Plus one.
Plus one.
He's giving me a step and he's giving me a plus one.
Plus, right.
So a five.
Hey, you've got two of them.
Yeah, I'm going to...
Can I re-roll?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
That's better.
13.
Okay. You think that from what you can see around here, there doesn't seem to be any type of view screen. Okay. It seems to be somebody with the proper sync can situate themselves with the crystal and know where the ship is, what's around it in relation to the crab shell, and can direct it that way. It's almost like you become the shell itself.
I look around. Is there a data port?
No. No. This, it doesn't seem to be from the idea of the type of Numenera this is, it seems to be something particular to the thing that's supposed to control it as opposed to just anybody being able to come in here and do it. In other words, you would have to be trained to sink yourself into it. You could do it, particularly Bill could do it, but it's a difficult role without any kind of training.
Why could I do it?
Because of your relationship with Numenera. Yeah.
Well, that all three of us, me and him, have the exact same skill.
Oh, I keep forgetting that. Well, then both
quieter.
Of you.
but
both of you could do it.
But he has Numenera. Actually, I think his understanding is broader than ours. Ours is for identifying and understanding.
And Grom's is more of electrical idea as opposed to something
machines in general.
Right.
Tier one, I get affinity with electrical-based machines.
Right.
Not me. I'm much better with people.
No people here.
Nope. I guess if thinking about it that way, the three of you outside of Ian over here could probably learn how to drive this thing. No, not together. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to imply three of
Come
you
on,
together.
It says. Come on,
it's
I'm like great at this game.
The Cylon ships from the original series. What I mean is that you three individually could figure out eventually how to sync your mind with this particular item. But I guarantee you this, it's not going to be before you all die of asphyxiation.
Okay.
Well then.
Back to the
top. Yeah. Jason. Have Obis do a biology roll.
Assuming the difficulty is going to be still up there, huh?
It's pretty high. Yeah. You're reducing it by one step with your training.
I'll go ahead and use the effort.
Okay. Reduce it two steps.
Ugh.
Oh, gross.
I'm getting the XP back right and left.
14.
Oh, You don't think that the makeup of the abhumans is sufficient for them to be able to learn how to do this. There's something different about abhumans.
So our makeup's not good enough to run it.
Your makeup is. Abhumans aren't.
So you're saying that one of the 15 occupants of this wasn't an abhuman?
Yes. At least one.
Well, considering our limited resources at this point, I think we should determine.
So the boys have a sub now. Interesting. Tune in next week when our adventurers travel back to the town. You see, trouble's been brewing behind them. Send us your email, roy@rusackgamers.com. Voicemail, 502-4141-RU. That's 502-4141-766. Or even through Facebook, www.facebook.com/rusackgamers. Finally, for legal reasons, I must remind you that you've been listening to an actual play podcast by the Rusack Gamers. This production is wholly owned by its creators and is distributed under the Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. The opening song is Betty Betty by the Nunchucks. Numenera is copyright 2013 Monte Cook Games, LLC.